Hello and welcome to Oxcast. It is your one and only Oxford Events podcast. It is still the one and only,
I'm
right?
I'm fairly sure it's the one and only. I haven't found anything else yet.
It's almost certainly the best, anyway, doing the little Carling disclaimer there. Anyway, let's crack on with a week's worth of fantastic events in and around Oxford.
So, starting off, the Welsh National Opera are in town.
Well, that's not Oxford!
That's not Oxford,
but
it's
in Oxford.
Yes, it's in Oxford, from Wales. They tour the nation every year.
They are amazing.
They're amazing. I saw Cosi Fan Tutti last year, and it really blew me away. Obviously, the singing is superb, but also the design and the acting's actually really strong as well.
Yeah, this is something that, like, I'd never realised until I started going to opera for Daily Info. I'm a very classy person. You can imagine my monocle popping out here. But basically, the insanity of the amazing range of huge sets and incredible ways they do something. I saw La Traviata a couple of years ago by the WNO, and they basically turned the New Theatre, which is, at the best of times, a pretty huge, impressive performance space, into a city. They had a backdrop that actually had dozens of windows with performers leaning out and singing.
They go all out.
Yeah.
Really, really great shows. And this year their tour has actually got a really interesting theme. It's themed around the Tudors. So Anna Bolena sees Anne Boleyn's last days at court, which is tonight. Yeah. Then on Thursday, Maria Stuarda imagines the showdown between Elizabeth I. So they use the word showdown. That is not me plebiscising. Plebiscising is my word. The showdown between Elizabeth I and Mary of Scots, were they to meet. And on Thursday, there's Roberto Devereux, which explores Elizabeth I's relationship with her kind of court favourite, who was the Earl of Essex.
It's so interesting that all these, you know, intrinsically English things are in Italian. Presumably they're written
All sung in Italian, with obviously English kind of surtitles to follow on. Mm-hmm. But the week's rounded off with something non-Tudor related, which is Puccini's La Tosca on Saturday.
Got to throw it in for the classics.
Exactly,
the
you need something familiar for a Saturday night at the opera. But I really love the Tudor theme, because those kind of courtly relationships and just fits so well with the form of opera, and the Tudors are just explored in every kind of art form imaginable, so why not do opera?
Absolutely, it suits it for the bombastic kind of style.
That so
kind of,
dramatic.
Absolutely.
Every night there's also a pre-show talk, so you can learn more about the company and the shows, and the shows start at 7 or 7.15, so check Daily Info for the details. And one last thing, there are 50 tickets available for every performance, which are £5 if you're under 30 years old.
£5!
Exactly. So it's worth just going, because that's only £5 and you're going to get, you know, 3 or so hours of entertainment. You have to book those tickets at the New Theatre. Mm-hmm. And so the WNO are in town from tonight to Saturday, different shows every night.
I'm there every night. It's going to be incredible. Anyway, moving on, we've got some more theatre, actually. Well, theatre rather than opera. Very similar, obviously. It's a new crop of student theatre. The students are back in town. Anyway, they've got the Oxford Playhouse this week. It's the first Oxford University drama of the year, and it's called Arcadia. Now, this is an amazing play by Tom Stoppard. Tom Stoppard, probably the greatest English playwright.
One of the best.
Yeah. Anyway, up there. This one is about love, literature and mathematics, set in the same country house in the 1800s and the 1980s, so it kind of alternates.
Travels through time a bit, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. He's very into this. He loves his kind of Guildenkrantz and Rosenstein's Dead is probably one of his more famous works, probably the thing he's most famous for. Of course, is Shakespeare in Love, for which he wrote the screenplay. And he loves this kind of clever, intellectual playing with what the audience sees. He's kind of like the Quentin Tarantino of theatrical drama. Anyway, this play has got sparkling dialogue, it's got a clever, time-bending plot, it's got Lord Byron, and it's got a tortoise. What more could you
the
want?
The tortoise is always a great way to round it off. There's a tortoise.
Absolutely, yeah. anyway, so you can see that this week until Saturday at 7.30 at the Oxford Playhouse.
On Friday and Saturday, there's two nights only of a show at the Pegasus.
Can't get enough drama this week, can we?
Yeah, they're a really nice young company called Rum and Clay. It's a group of boys who all trained at the Jacques Lecoq Hall in Paris, which is a sort of physical theatre clowning style of performance.
They're clowning, the French, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. They clown. And they make really accessible theatre. From what I've kind of seen and read, they do sound kind of similar to Idle Motion, who are an Oxford company. Mm. That kind of experience in really visual and physical. They recently did an all-male version of Jekyll and Hyde, which is at the Waterman in Newbury.
Right.
So if anybody saw that, this is them again. And they're touring A Strange Wild Song, which is the show they're bringing this week. And it was in Edinburgh in 2012.
I'm sure it got rave reviews.
So, yeah, it's a really good format for young companies. They go to Edinburgh, they do their show, they do well. They then have press packs, they send that out the following year, they do a tour. It's a great way to catch things if you want up in Edinburgh.
Little insight into the inside world of the theatre from our resident expert, Anaïs.
And the play tells a story of a grandson exploring his grandfather's past through a lost camera. And his grandfather was an American soldier in the Second World War who then kind of stumbled across children. And it's very much playing with history and present and naivety and growing up and childhood with modern day
blasts from the past. Lots of physical, dancey kind of
and yes,
stuff.
Mime, yeah. clowning, physical theatre. Mm. It's not really, really dialogue heavy and it's not like a lecture in history. It's really fun, really visual, lovely aesthetic. It's kind of sepia sort of look to it. Lots of kind of browns and muddy colours.
That sounds great. So when's it on?
It's 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday at the Pegasus.
Great. Well, you did say actually something there where it's not a lecture. Now, there is a certain part of our audience who may have been a little disappointed by that. Perhaps they wanted none of this clowning nonsense. They want someone to stand there and tell them things.
Tell them how it is.
Exactly. And have I got you covered, three listeners?
Are you counting yourself in that?
I'm listening to me as I'm talking. Both of you and me, we're together. Yeah, we're the Geek Squad. No, that's unfair because there's a guy called Tim Harford giving a talk on Friday. He is the undercover economist, which
dun,
I love.
Dun, dun.
I know, thank you.
Does he have a detective's coat with his collar popped?
I'd like to think so, but I think it's more about the fact that he's giving you the kind of interesting, the kind of black market side of economics. Now, you may have heard Tim Harford talking on Radio 4's More or Less, or Pop-Up Economics. He puts a kind of friendly voice on the baffling and frightening world of economics that now ruins all our lives on a daily basis. With his own inimitable storytelling, he will be talking about austerity, the recession, and rising economic inequality.
It sounds well jolly.
I was going to say, that might sound a bit dry. But he's going to be explaining them by talking about things like ghost currencies, inflation in World War II prison camps, and why the price of Coca-Cola stayed the same for 80 years. So clever, fascinating little anecdotes, very Freakonomics, cutting through the kind of statistical mumbo-jumbo and really giving you the kind of inside scoop on what is actually just, you know, the single probably most important thing in the world. Like, you know, we are in a massive recession right now, and he can tell you why. If you fancy an evening of eclectic intellectualisms, he is on Friday night at 5 p.m.
Also on Friday night, you could go after this, there's some delicious food. We don't normally talk about restaurants, but this is a pop-up restaurant by caterers called the White Radish Pop-Up.
And I bet you love this pop-up restaurant, don't
it's
you?
It's Friday and Saturday at the Organic Deli Cafe in town, and they are hosting the Great British Allotment Pop-Up Restaurant. Lots of my favourite words there combined to make for a delicious evening. It's almost £25, and you can savour three courses of vegan and vegetarian gastronomy, and you can book to eat at different times. You must book in advance. There's different increments between 6:30 and 9:30, and there's also obviously organic beers, ciders and wines available.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
It's really good. So there's I've selected a few of the most mouth-watering dishes.
Are you going to make us all hungry?
There's roasted pumpkin, toasted truffles and mulled wine syrup. That's on the pudding,
that's
but I could put
selection.
That in with savoury. Yeah. So if any of that takes your fancy, then it's going to be really, really, really beautiful, organic, locally sourced foods.
And pop-ups, so you only get a chance once in a while, once in a lifetime chance to go to
this
particular
event. Yeah, at the lovely Organic Deli Cafe, we're a big fan of.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it may be after, or in fact matter, before going to the lovely pop-up cafe, you could head along to see a little bit of theatre on Friday and Saturday night. It's called The Government Inspector, and it is a fantastic Russian farce, which is on.
Hilarious. I saw a version several years ago and it's just such a crazy, crazy show. You've got to keep up.
I know. It's so good. It's by Gogol, who wrote lots of Russian sort of short stories and is famous for kind of, you know, sort of anarchic plots. And it's basically about a fop who gets mistaken for an important official and then cons a town of corrupt bureaucrats. If you've ever seen the Fawlty Towers episode, The Hotel Inspector, it's that, but in Russia and with more kind of like corruption. But it is genuinely really funny. It was on this exact same show. It was on last year in the Jericho Tavern. And it had some great, great reviews, including on dailyinfo.co.uk. Anyway, you can go and see that. It's at the Old Fire Station on Friday and Saturday.
You can also look on Daily Info for other events happening in Oxford, which we might not be covering in our podcast.
Although they're still worthwhile, you know.
They're still worthwhile.
No slant.
There's loads of classes and workshops you can do. You can kind of learn any skill in Oxford.
Full film listings if you just fancy sitting there and watching something instead.
There's also reviews. We also have job ads and ads for places to live.
Sounds amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
They should go now.
dailyinfo.co.uk.
What else have you got for us?
So there's an exhibition on at Modern Art Oxford at the moment, which runs until the 17th of November, and through which you can discover and support young local talent. It's called Platform Exhibition, and it's platforming the work of graduates from local institutions such as Brooks, the Ruskin School of Drawing and Fine Art, and Oxford and Reading universities.
Right.
So it's a collaborative endeavour with other regional galleries, and they've all selected local graduates. And from that bunch of artists, one will be picked and receive a 12-month bursary and professional development programme.
Fantastic.
So it's really kind of the hot young things in art at the moment. And they've all got really interesting bodies of work. There's photography, there's sculpture, and there's also kind of laser paper cutouts, which look like kind of like lace.
Yeah,
really delicate and kind of monochrome colours. Really, really interesting work. And they're basically like the YBAs, young British artists,
if you're
not down with the lingo.
Thank you.
That was
a reasonable assumption with me, actually. Yeah.
Of today and tomorrow. And so it's really worth popping into modern Oxford to have a see what the kind of current young art movement is doing.
Often a chance also to pick up some interesting artworks, so sort of slightly less than they will be worth in a few years. My housemate loves buying works of art at these kind of exhibitions and putting them up around the house, and he says he keeps track of all their careers and where they're going to see which is going to suddenly spike and worth thousands of pounds. Hasn't happened yet, but it will, I'm sure.
It's like buying shares in like tiny little companies and keeping track of it. It's like his own stock market.
Exactly.
Through art.
Yeah. But it gives you something pleasant to look at in the meantime.
Exactly.
Anyway, something else to do this weekend is the Gathering Festival. This is a big one, actually. I am looking forward to this very much indeed. It's Oxford's very own one-day music festival featuring a bunch of the best national and local indie, rock, folk and pop bands. I'm sure I've left out one of the genres here.
It's mostly those. Very cosy music, I think, on the
Absolutely,
whole.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it's in a great selection of venues. It's right across East Oxford, so it's places like the O2 Academy, the Truck Store, some lovely little pubs and St John the Evangelist Church. Headlining this year's festival are indie popsters London Grammar and some US rocksters called, confusingly, Local Natives. They're not from round here, though. There's also obviously a bunch of other fantastic acts.
And lots of local bands.
Lots of good local bands, yeah. And music will start at 4 p.m. on Saturday, and it will keep going later than that.
Past our bedtimes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We have to be tucked up at 9, ready to produce tomorrow's Daily Info. If you're interested in the Gathering Festival, not in us, obviously, we're less interesting, go to gatheringfestival.tumblr.com.
They are about to sell out, but we still think it's worth knowing about. And if they have sold out, you should know this is happening.
Exactly.
And you should book early next year.
Exactly. Anyway, Gathering Festival, be there or be a four-sided polygon.
If you're not going to Gathering, then I've got some more sort of food-based fun for you. I am hungry, but I didn't realise I was this hungry when I was choosing my events. So the Phoenix has just had a few days sprucing up and fixing the roof of their cinema. But this Saturday, they're reopening with the launch of Food at the Phoenix. They've got a really lovely, airy upstairs bar, which has always really been there and has really nice kind of craft beers and ales and wines. But now they're launching a food menu, which includes cheese and charcuterie platters. Yes, please. to both of those at the same time. And also pork pie, sausage rolls and lovely toasted sarnies.
I'll keep on that second selection of options there. We'll have a little browse comparison.
I think we should go for a taster. So the bar's opening hours are also going to extend, so you don't have to be just going to see a film to go to the Bar Above the Phoenix, which is its actual name. And they also host quizzes and music nights, and they have exhibitions. So it's kind of a new venue to watch and somewhere new in Jericho to go get some food.
Sounds fun. One more quick thing for Sunday. Anais, how do you feel about apples?
I like them sometimes.
I'm afraid that might not be good enough, so this event is possibly not for you. But on the other hand, perhaps it is, because if there's anything that's going to make you love apples, it's an apple day, right? It's obviously apple harvest time, and a group called Abundance Oxford, who are committed to kind of eco-garden growingness, are putting on a special day at a place called The Hog Roast. Now, The Hog Roast is a vegetarian, eco-friendly cafe. It's community-owned, and it's in Hogacre Community Eco Park in South Oxford.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of adjectives in that sentence. Most of them involve the word eco. It's going to be a whole day of apple-y delights. There's going to be apple food, apple pressing. You can bring your own to press into delicious
cider,
juice.
Is cider going to be involved at a later stage?
I think you might have to take the juice away and make it into cider yourself.
Okay.
But certainly they will help the first stage of that. There's going to be toffee apples, there's going to be jam making, and some tips for cider making. So yeah,
that's very helpful. What I was looking for.
And some free music. And it's all free. It's on from 12 to 5:30 at the Hog Roast. It's very near Hinksey Park. Just go and have a look for that. And well worth a shot.
Very wholesome. Wholesome, nice thing to do on a Sunday.
Absolutely. Couldn't ask for much more wholesome than a vegetarian, eco-friendly cafe. How about some music? Now that we've run the gamut of modern rock and roll, not to worry, a bunch of antique classical music to bring things back to a civilised Oxford level. The Oxford Lieder Festival is still on. We did mention it last week, but it is worth mentioning again.
Definitely.
Fantastic concerts, lectures and masterclasses. Now, this weekend is Britain Weekend, celebrating the composer's 100th birthday. So there are, guess how many Britain concerts they've managed to cram into one weekend?
Oh my God.
Have a guess.
8?
10.
Oh, so close.
I know. It ranges from piano concertos to singing to a folk song masterclass. Now, if you are a deranged Britain junkie, looking at you, Anise, a concert pass to all 10 will set you back £70, which is a considerable saving on going to each individually. Mm. And we say it's well worth it to spend upwards of 10 hours out of 48 bathed in classical ear bliss.
Beautiful.
Exactly. Now, if you want something
transported.
Exactly, yes. If you want something a little less intense, perhaps something for the kids, again, Anise, head to the Jacqueline Dupre Music Building on Sunday for a family cushion concert.
I love those.
Yeah, you've come across these before.
So comfy, so cosy, so lovely.
Basically, it's fun, close-up music from a fun range of instruments. It's at 10 and 11 for the under-fives, 12 for the over-fives, and you have to bring your own cushion. I'm sure you've got one ready.
Yeah, in my bag with me at all times.
Glad to hear it.
Now, Orla's going to come in and tell us a little bit more about the Oxox Festival, which is also still running.
Our film queen.
Yes, Oxox started last week and it goes on till the 7th of November. And a couple of days ago, I caught up with the festival director, Marie Wright.
So I'm joined by Marie Wright, the director of Oxox International Film Festival. Marie, so yes, you have 13 films in this festival this year. So how many films do you have to watch on average then to...
Hundreds. Literally hundreds, yeah. When we used to have a festival all in one go, so we had one a year. Now we're dividing into seasons, so this is our autumn season, which is why we have less films than normal, because we're now concentrating on doing it 3 or 4 times a year, so that we get it's much easier now, because the way the film industry is working, it's changed from when we first started the festival, which is now about 12 years ago. Everything now is coming out all the time. There's not set times of the year when things come out. And they also, it's much easier for the general public, who we have the festival geared towards, as opposed to industry, to come and see films 3 times a week rather than 20 films a day.
And a couple of the highlights are sure to be the Stuart Hall project, which was a big success at this year's Sundance in Utah, and Julian Temple's London Modern Babylon.
Yes,
exactly. If you could tell us a bit about those two.
Well, both these, the London Modern Babylon is a fascinating film. He's had two cuts of this. One is a TV cut, which I think is BBC 4 cut, but this is the full film version. And Julian was going to come but couldn't make it, so we have various other people on the panel talking about London, and you know, going into depth about the things he covers in the film. The film's got some fantastic archive footage of London, the very first images of London that have been captured on film, so it's very interesting from a historical point of view as well.
I'm sure the music's great in it as well, from his history of music documentary making.
Absolutely, yeah. Great film, the soundtrack.
Winter Nomads looks like it's going to be a highlight for me, I think. Yeah. It just looks such a charming film about Swiss shepherds and their 800
It is.
Plot.
And it's about how urban space is spreading and spreading even into the mountains of Switzerland. So where they used to be able to take their flock over years ago, they can't do it because its towns have expanded so much they can't get past. And in fact, the eco theme is running through quite a lot of our films. The Hum of Holland, which is about the soundscape of Holland, brings in how it has a really terrible effect, the noise of cities, on wildlife. You know, birds can't hear each other, so they can't reproduce. And so species are dying out because of din, basically.
And there's definitely, over the last few years, I think, been an increased popularity and availability of documentaries. I mean, this year we've had films like Blackfish, The Act of Killing, The Gatekeepers, all had large cinematic releases. I wonder what your ideas are and why that's been.
Yeah, well, I think documentary has always been a niche market and still is. Michael Moore, you know, exploded out with all his films, and he actually started the whole thing of big time documentaries on the big screen through the big film distributors. But it is growing as a genre. As film is more accessible to everybody, you know, however you want to watch it, download it on your phone, whatever you're going to do, there's a great variety of film types out there, and documentary is having its day, being able to be accessed by people even if the main Hollywood people don't take it up, so yeah. They've got other avenues now, which is quite interesting.
And there's going to be Q&As after every film.
Yes.
Can you tell us about some of the people we can expect to be on these panels?
Well, we have the directors themselves coming in some of the films. Sometimes they can't make it because they're in other festivals or making films. We've also got experts on the subject. So we've got some very interesting speakers from university coming, especially the Stuart Hall project. And many of the other films have got a lot of the people from Oxford. We have everyone who knows anything in Oxford, as we all know. So it's great for a documentary festival.
Great. So it's going to be the 12th of October to the 7th of November, and all at the UPP on the Valley Road.
That's it.
Brilliant.
That's
thank it. You very much for joining us, Marie.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So that was me talking to Marie Wright there, and you can hear the whole of the interview, 7 minutes of it, on the Oxcast Extras on dailyinfo.co.uk/podcasts.
And whilst Ola's here, we thought we would use her expert knowledge on warfare.
Drone warfare specifically.
Mm-hmm. To tell us a bit about an event linking to this area of her expertise.
Yes, a special expertise. There's a really interesting short film that's coming on Tuesday to the Oxford Martin School. It's called Drone. It's only 13 minutes long and it stars Ewan Bremner, who you might remember as Spud in Trainspotting, and he was also in Black Hawk Down and lots of films like that. So a big actor. But it's a really interesting event because it's going to have an intro by the director, and then there's going to be a panel discussion afterwards as well. So the panel discussion will be with writer, director, producer Daniel Jewell, associate producer Atta Jewell, Dr. Alex Leveringhouse, the James Martin Fellow for the Oxford Institute for Ethics, Law and Armed Forces, and also the principal investigator for Oxford Martin Programme for Human Rights of Future Generations.
That's a powerful selection of people.
They've all got some great job titles there.
Yeah.
I know. I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion because you've got the people who are actually involved in making the film and also these people with incredible knowledge about these areas of sort of ethics and warfare. So it's a short film about a drone operator. We don't know his actual name. He's just known as Drone Operator, which is kind of interesting as well about his sort of nameless anonymousness of himself as well as his targets. And while he's procrastinating in the run-up to his first solo strike, he experiences a sort of crisis of conscience and, sort of explores the ethics of this sort of new type of warfare that we've all been hearing so much about in the last sort of 18 months or so.
Big topic at the moment, eh?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a new understanding of the word drone, even, that we weren't really aware of until, sort of recent history. So it's very topical. You do have to book. You can find the links for booking on our website. It starts at 5 o'clock till 6:30, and it's at the Oxford Martin School on 34 Broad Street in Oxford on Tuesday.
Sounds amazing. Anyway, thank you so much for talking to us, Orla. If you listeners have enjoyed the sound of anything you've heard in this podcast, you can get more details on dailyinfo.co.uk.
You can also find out about other events happening in and around Oxford, including all the film listings.
Or you can follow us on Twitter at dailyinfooxford, or you can search Facebook for Daily Info Oxford and follow us there as well.